Hello and welcome to the Practical Rambling Fathers podcast. My name is Father Tay.
And I'm Father Brian.
So for this podcast, we're going to look at the gospel reading for the second Sunday of Lent.
Which would be the 25th of
February.
February.
Awesome. So let's begin. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark. Glory to you,
O Lord.
Isn't that what we did last time?
I don't think so. But it's okay.
Okay.
I just read it. Oh. But I like that. You got it.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone, but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mark, of course, Mark is Stark. And so everything that Mark puts into his readings means something. Even so far, which is the first time I've actually picked it up. The first phrase, after 6 days, that is super, super significant. What happens after 6 days, Father Tay?
So it goes back to the book of Genesis. When God was creating the world, God rested after he created man after the 6 days. So he rested on the seventh day. So what is the implication here? It's another revelation of God revealing himself to the world, but now in the form of his son, Jesus. So after 6 days, God rested. And here you have Jesus resting from his ministry and bringing up only his closest friends, Peter, James, and John, and he's revealing the secret. So one of the things that we should remember, that in the Gospel of Mark, he is constantly trying to show the world that as Jesus gets closer to Jerusalem, the people will finally know that he's the Messiah. Jesus cannot go a full 100 and just say, hey, I'm the Son of God, because people have already a certain idea of who the Son of God should be. So Jesus can only reveal little by little of who he is. And so today we have that little sneak peek of who Jesus is and what he can truly do.
And then we also have who he brings up is super important. He only brings up Peter, James, and John. He does not bring up the rest of the contingent that he called. He brings up these three. So he had the inner circle of the 12 inside the inner circle. So he had the 72 he sent out. He had the 12, and then he had the three. So he really heavily invested in Peter, James, and John. And leading them up a mountain. Did you get into leading up a mountain?
Not yet.
No. Okay.
But so, go for it.
Yeah. So going high up on the mountain is a sign of Mount Sinai, the covenant, the new covenant. And God reveals his glory in Exodus with lightning and smoke and thunder. And the Jesus is the... Jesus is the presence of God. On the mountaintop. Mountaintops experiences are throughout the Bible. And actually, interestingly enough, cultural-wise, within the context of the world, regardless of religion, everyone seems to go to mountaintops for experiences. And majority of churches or pagan rituals happened on mountaintops, or mountaintops were built. Temples were on top of mountaintops. And so just that sense of going and looking for revelation on the mountaintops is a super, I don't know, human thing.
Yeah, like almost human thing. Yeah. Almost like a human natural instinct, right? Like almost a phase of what's another word for that? Like initiation, right? Like you go to be tested, you go to see what to discover more about yourself. So in this case, Jesus goes up to help Peter, James, and John discover more of themselves through his identity and his mission has been called for. And so the word transfiguration, right? Jesus is transfigured, which means he shines so brightly that Peter and James and John were like, what is going on? We've never seen this before. So his whole humanity is radiating. It's showing to the whole world, right?
And I think it's only shown to these three.
Oh, sorry. So shown to these three. But what's hilarious currently is that Mark never gives a lot of details. He's more of like, okay, there's a lot of things that are implied and you should pick it up, right? No. He goes into details here saying, like, Jesus transfigured. How? His clothes became dazzling white. And we know from the sacred scripture that anytime an angel of the Lord would appear to people, or there's a symbol of white clothing, means that they're super holy. They come from the Lord himself, and that's why we should have distance between them. But then Mark goes into this little detail saying, this white was so white that no person here on earth can wash their clothes to achieve that brightness.
Yeah, no fuller, which is a launderer on earth, can achieve that. So it's a little detail that Mark adds in. Yeah, one of my favorite details that Mark adds in is he's sleeping on a pillow in the midst of the sea. That I crack up at that. All the other gospels are like, no, he just like sleeping. He woke up and, you know, calmed the storm, woke up, said, hey, calm down, winds and storms. But Mark goes, he was asleep on a pillow.
That pillow helped to create this miracle, bro.
A miracle of like, it's an important detail. I agree. To sleep Jesus wasn't
calm the storm.
Jesus wasn't just sleeping on a bench. he was in comfort mode in the midst of chaos of a storm that was about to sink the ship. And he's like, oh, you guys are waking me? Okay, well, I'll get off my pillow here and I'll deal with you guys. Deal with the sea. Calm it down. Okay, it's calm. All right, let's go to our destination. Oh, we're at our destination in safety with you. Perfect.
For a moment there, I had this funny thought of like, I would love to see that face. He's sleeping on the pillow, and then someone just wakes him up, and he just like looks.
The disciples.
Yeah, just looks at him like, really?
I mean, I feel like I do that all the time to the Lord. Hey, you. Hey, Lord. Hey.
I need this.
Hey.
And the Lord said, I've already told
you. I'm restless,
answer.
Lord. And Lord's like,
I'm here.
Yes, Brian. Yes, you are. It's okay. It's okay. Wake me up when you need to. All right, I'm here.
But
back to it.
Yeah. That's hilarious because we'll talk about the human experience and reaction when we meet God in such a profound experience like that. But the three apostles begin to know that it was a different experience because, first of all, they'd never seen someone from the dead come alive and converse. So not only was Jesus' clothes becoming white, they saw Elijah and Moses. Yeah, boom. Anyone would freak out. These guys were dead and they were legends. And so here you have Jesus talking to them as if it was just not a Sunday brunch, right? But the commentaries talk about they appeared for a reason, right? Elijah was considered one of the great prophets. He defended the faith. He kept the faith. He made people make sure they followed the faith and the law of the Lord. He was the one that slain the false prophets. And then you have Moses, right? So what is it saying? That Jesus has to be the Son of God and he's greater than these prophets, because otherwise why would they appear at this time with the apostles, right? Because and the commentators were focusing on this. Elijah ascended to heaven in a whirlwind, right? And then Moses was also taken up to heaven. So this could almost be a scene as a something that would foreshadow the way that Jesus would die and the way that he would ascend into heaven. This is a great privilege reserved only for very, very few people. Elijah was one of them, and Moses was one of them, and pretty soon it'll be Jesus.
Oh, I was going to say Mary.
Yep, and Mary too. So
I mean, those are the only human beings that it's happened to. Jesus is a divine being.
Exactly, that we have actual a record of these things. So, Yeah, I thought it was really, really cool. The next part is hilarious, right?
So the overwhelmingness.
Yeah. So going back to what our little tangent about, right? You know, how hilarious that Jesus is sleeping and all the humans around him are like, hey, we're dying. Wake up. Solve us, right? So here is Peter, James, and John seeing Jesus so dazzling white, appearing with Moses and Elijah. And good old human beings, we're like, I love this experience. Let's prolong it. And so Peter opens his mouth and says, Rabbi, how about we make, it's good that we are here. Let's make three tents for you.
Let us do it. I'm a tent maker by trade, so I will make you a tent on the top of a mountain. This will be great. Rabbi literally means the great, my great one. So making this three tents and, St. Peter's just like totally overwhelmed, terrified. And I love this little comment inside the commentary here. Terrified, the typical human reaction to a theophany, which is in Genesis and Exodus and in Luke, these moments of trying to think what's a good definition of a theophany. Experience of God.
Yeah.
Experience of seeing God, experience
of... Of hearing God's voice, experiencing... Yep. You got it. Or like another one to consider is like whenever... Even in the Old Testament, God rarely appeared to his people. He only appeared to prophets. And then the majority of the time, he sent his angels to make this announcement. And guess what happened to the people receiving the news? They all fell down. They were terrified. They couldn't look at the angel. They're like, oh my gosh. Here's the angel of the Lord. And so they all fell down.
Oh my gosh. So, again, back into the details. Mark doesn't give us many, but the whole entire, then the cloud came and casting a shadow. All of those are representations of the realities of the Exodus. Mm-hmm. And the people Israel in the Exodus, the cloud was a visible sign of God's presence. The cloud overshadowed Moses' tent when God came to visit Moses at the tent. There was clouds on the top of Mount Sinai when he was up there getting the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
The same verb for casting shadows used for the overshadowing of the meeting tent. So there's a lot of parallels here in the Transfiguration that go back to the Exodus story. And then pointing out here, getting towards the end here, that the Transfiguration is a Trinitarian event, just like the baptism of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is now symbolized in a cloud rather than a dove. And the Father gives an audible testimony to his beloved son, as he did in baptism. And going back, wow, there's a lot of layover. Listen to him is a recall to, so this is my beloved son, listen to him, is even recalled back to Moses, because that is what God said to the people with Moses, is listen to him. So Jesus being that fulfillment of that type. So, all right.
And the last one, it's very, I was really touched by this, because after that huge moment of consolation and prayer, as human beings, when we have this experience with God, we don't want to leave, right? But God is smart, and he knew that as human beings, we can't always be in consolation forever. We need to live our lives, and there'll be days where it's challenging. So we go up to the mountain to have this deep encounter with God, but then we also have to come down from the mountain. And so the commentary says, at the pinnacle of the experience, the disciples finally find themselves alone with Jesus again. Right? So Moses and Elijah have already accomplished what they need to do, and they had the support of their people, but Jesus' role is different. He's going to complete the Father's mission by going to the cross alone. Because his own life and mission will be a fulfillment that transcends all that took place in the Old Testament, right? For me, like, I find that as very comforting, Because what are we suffering right now in the world is this sense of being isolation or being alone. Like, no one understands my pain. No one is going through this. But then if you read the gospel, Jesus goes alone by himself all the time, right? He's tempted in the desert for 40 days. He walks in Jerusalem knowing that the people are going to hate him. He goes to his hometown, right? They cuss him out. And so I'm like, why do we say to God that he doesn't relate to us? His whole life, really.
Yeah.
He's like, he sent his son to become one of us. He understands pain. He understands suffering. But yet we choose to deny the divinity of Jesus by saying...
No, the humanity.
Oh, sorry, the humanity of Jesus by saying he was only divine. He could never understand humanity. No, he was born of a woman, born under the law. So this gives me great comfort. Like, okay, we're not alone. Jesus has already gone to the battle himself. Let us not leave Jesus alone. Let us walk with him as he has been walking with us, right?
Yeah.
So journey with him in Lent.
The Lent journey.
Yeah.
I also love that, and I was trying to look through the readings that are coming up for the following Sundays, and we don't hit it, so I just want to hit it quick here, is that when Mark is laying out his gospel, right after this is his first passion prediction in Mark's gospel. And so right before Jesus tells him that he's going to have to go suffer and die, Jesus gives Peter, James, and John this inside scoop or this inside reality bursting forth of his divinity. And that's really important for Mark and for the Lord to be able to show us his grandeur, and if we've had mountaintop experiences of God, like to know that those exist in our life, but then also to realize that suffering may still be coming our way, and that getting through, living through life, good or bad or indifferent, like the Lord's with us in it all. And like this just shows us a glimmer of a mountaintop experience and then coming back down and having the reality of the passion be put into our face so that he could save us from what we actually need to be saved from: sin, death, Satan, and hell, things we can't compete against.
Amen. 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 Awesome. Well, thank you so much for tuning in into our podcast. We hopefully this has been helpful for you, but also fruitful for you as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Stay holy, my friends.